of People, or Renmin de Mingyi, a television series about China's anti-corruption drive, has taken audience of all ages by storm. It's been considered as a milestone in recent Chinese TV production. So let's talk about what this anti-graft campaign theme show is about.
Sure. So this, it is a 55 episode show. It is called In the Name of People, or 人民的名义, which focuses on the work of the Communist Party of China disciplinary investigators whose job is to bring down corrupt officials. The 120 million yuan production cost was brokered by the TV and Film Production Center under the Supreme People's Procuratorate. That is why people think that there might be some of the real stories happen. I mean, stories happen in real life was in a way written into this TV series, and at the very first episodes, you can see the leading male character Hou Liangping, starring by Chinese actor Lu Yi, who is considered a good actor after joining the show and being, in a way, competed and beat by these old, really good actors, which are filled to this series. I mean, the series full of these good actors. And in the very first episodes, you can see him busting one of these corrupted officials. He is like with not a very high or he's a powerful official, but his title is not that high. I mean, he has the power of a lot of things. So that being said, this man has accepted a lot of bribes, and he kept all the names and details on the little book. So from that little notebook, the story actually starts.
Yes, and according to Hunan TV, a domestic TV big data website, the very night it first broadcast, that's March 28th, it got top audience ratings, breaking the monthly record. Its audience rating is more than twice that of the runner-up Roundtable. I'm just kidding. It was actually the China-Iran soccer match that was playing that same day, and it was live. And Xinhua report revealed that the drama had been played for 220 million times online on March 31st alone, people. So it's doing really well. People really like it. And I guess it's less than half of the episodes have broadcasted. So there's still more to go. And looking at this, I mean, it's got a Douban score of, 9.1 out of 10. So yeah, that's really good, you know. And honestly, looking at this information, I'm not a big TV guy, but, I think I would check this out. Because it seems like it's getting really big reception.
Yeah, actually, the first thing I thought about after Ryan saying that you want to check it out, I was like, he can't do it. This is all in sophisticated Chinese. You need to have a very high level of Chinese to, and also understanding of maybe the political landscape to some extent, and also general knowledge about Chinese society to really get to the nitty-gritty of what this is about. But apparently, there are some foreign fans that have translated so far only episode one.
Yes.
So putting in English subtitles of this show. So that's how the popularity has spread maybe across borders to some extent, although this is a very China-centric setting. And also, this is one show that's surprisingly reached all kinds of age demographic. Mm-hmm. This has become one of those bonding sessions between my dad and I. So, like, we're on episode 8 now.
Spoil it.
Yeah, I'll try hard not to spoil anything for anyone. But yeah, it's interesting that, you know, you see the ratings going over the roof on traditional TV station, and also online as well, with all these video websites. They are seeing this show being number one in popularity, and even with bullet comments, that's usually what the younger generation of viewers would use as they're watching the show and they're doing the commenting. This has become quite a media phenomenon right now, and Also, this is only halfway through the show as it's being broadcast. So this is actually really interesting and exciting to see something actually of a maybe starting a new wave of TV production, as it is something that's caught people's attention kind of unexpectedly. Let's talk a little bit more about the reaction from all kinds of different audience. Apparently, people like it so much that they're doing all kinds of variations to it, and they
yes.
want to take this into their own hands just to show how in they are hooked to this TV series.
Exactly. So netizens can be very creative if they actually fall in love with whatever is showing on the TV. They are really good at making memes and putting titles and subtitles on some screenshot, and apparently now they wanted to show that they have a true passion of the series, and they wanted to make it look high-end, look classy. So they're giving English names to the characters in the series, and it's kind of hilarious because the names are all based on the pronunciation of the Chinese. So Li Dakang, who is
the favorite of a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's the favorite right now, and he was nicknamed .com because Dakang sounds like .com or Dark.com. And Sha Ruijin is Sherry Kim, and Hou Liangping becomes Lamping Hold. I mean, they're just using all these fun English words to mimic the Chinese pronunciation, which is hilarious and creative in a way.
And when you've got this abbreviation they're using for, I guess, five of the members in the show, the HD Boys, which
high
sounds
definition?
Like my favorite boy band, the TF Boys, right? Gosh, how could it not be a hit? But yes, so they've got this the abbreviation for Handong, which I mm-hmm. think is the kind of made-up province where all this is happening.
Yes, spot on.
And so these five guys that are in there, they've even, fans have even photoshopped their faces on, you know, some funny memes. Let's talk actually about some of these memes, because where people, you know, find their loves for TV and pop culture, memes often follow, and this is no different. I guess there's gift pictures of Lee shouting at some people, and the sentence that's kind of mocking him is saying something like, "Why don't you fly to the sky?" Or one of the ones I like is a picture of Lee's sad face, and it has a sentence saying, "I cannot smile because I'm so sad." So I thought it was, I think some of these are pretty funny.
I think the reason that it is funny is only because the character, if you see the show, uh-huh. the character's characteristic is funny, and he's a very serious guy, so that sentence is funny, yes.
Yeah, so there you go. There is kind of a continuation and contrast to some extent.
Yes.
And now let's talk about the popularity. Why is this show this popular?
Yes. So we gotta say it's quite rare for an anti-corruption TV drama to be that popular. Anti-corruption is a very serious theme, and usually dramas under serious themes are very boring. But apparently this one has introduced a lot of interesting plot and puzzles into the plot. So you kind of wonder who is the good guy, who's the bad guy, and after the story goes on, you figure out some of things, or you think you figured it out, but it ends up being you're wrong. So all these tangle you're playing with the story, it makes it very interesting. And apparently anti-corruption, we've talked about this theme, this word a lot of times, but it's actually a real thing happening in China right now. And after the 18th CPC National Congress in 2012, China stepped up anti-corruption work, and a lot of high-level officials has been busted and being corrupt officials. And people hear the news on the news platform media. They hear the news, but they don't know what is actually going on. And this TV show actually feed up their kind of curiosity to the harsh reality.
You know, another reason I think we could say that this show is doing really well is, and Nu Honglin had kind of touched on it a bit, is the acting. Instead of, you know, what has become kind of commonplace in a lot of movies nowadays mm-hmm. coming out of China, where instead of veteran actors, we see these little meats or these little flowers. Now we're seeing, you know, some very veteran actors like, I guess, Wu Gong, who plays Lee Da Kong, won Best Leading Actor of the 27th Golden Rooster Awards. Zhang Fengyi, who plays Sha Rui Jin, won the Outstanding Actor Award of China Film Association and the Outstanding Actor Award of Flying Goddess Award twice. So these actors are on fire, and it seems, you know, if I wanted to be an actor, maybe if I was one of these little meats, okay, but I was like, man, I really want to be known for something other than my pretty face. I think these kind of shows are good to be surrounded by veteran actors. As New Hong Lin had said, you know, maybe there was this newer actor, but he's come a long way maybe since being on this show. Because imagine, if you want to be really good at your craft, it's really helpful to be surrounded by people who do it awesomely. And it sounds like this show is just nailing that on the head, because the story is really strong, but you need good actors to portray that story. And, you know, people are saying that netizens are praising this because they say words are unnecessary at times. You can feel the tension in the scenes when there are no words being said, and that is commonplace with good acting.
Yes, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but this middle-aged guy, he's won my heart, and his name is Zhang Fengyi. The last time I saw him was in Farewell, My Concubine. That is one movie that I recommend everybody to check out. Back then, he was a young stud, but now, oh, he's in his he's middle-aged, if not a little bit older. The acting is superb. I think acting certainly is one thing, and I'd just like to raise one point. I think I felt a little bit sad earlier on when our TV screen was filled with all these shows with no content. That is an insult to the intelligence of most audience, and usually the lead stars are those little fresh meats or you know, young celebrities. And we used to think, oh, is it that Chinese viewers' ability to appreciate TV production, or even we say if it's a form of art of mass media, is this low? And it seems like they're getting all the ratings, the praises, and the fans buy it. But actually, I think there's a huge amount of audience that have been neglected, because it's very difficult to get a very strong script like this one, a strong story like this one. And I think the most importantly is that the script is so good. Why is it so good? Is we know this is entertainment. This is art. This is a variation of reality, but this is built on reality. And even just the slightest glimpse on what the political landscape is, and also just giving you that dose of realism. And that has become so fresh on Chinese TV screen. And I think that is something that's really got us going, and we really want to see more of this serious TV production with serious plot and actually some suspense. Suspense, well, you learn that from Hitchcock, and you know that is one gold rule in every Hollywood blockbuster or a good movie. How come suspense has been absent in most of these Chinese TV shows? Again, insult to our intelligence. And that's because the script is simply not good enough. Or maybe this is one of those opportunities that showed us, if you allow people to touch on certain topics, there is no lack of creativity and professional people in the industry, but you need to have that opportunity to have the chance to show, I can do this. And this is a victory, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as well, all these writers and screenplay writers, they have actually went to prison and do interview with the corrupt officials. So it's not only that they have good writing skills, they actually did a lot of interview to make sure that it's based on reality. You need to go to get that gold detail, that perfect detail, like a bed full of money. That is a shocking scene, and that scene can be real in real life. So that, I think that makes it a good TV series. But as well, I kind of have this question, that is, what if people see the show, maybe they didn't realize how can someone get to the bribes, get the money in a way, but now they kind of do. Will that destroy kind of their confidence?
That's really interesting. Also, I think this is one of the primary reasons why previously we haven't seen this kind of show very often, or touch upon maybe a little bit of a touchy theme for a lot of people. This is not about corruption. This is about anti-corruption. It's about fighting corruption. So I think there is this general theme that is behind, or always, I think it's at the back of your mind, and you see the intricacies of that. But also, back to the primary reason why maybe this kind of thing was not shown previously as much is, I think there is a concern. What do you put on the big screen? What do you put on mass media platforms? That, on the one hand, if you're putting all positive things, then maybe it will make people think positively. If you put things that show harsh reality or an exaggeration of such, or things that are negative, would it lead people to think negatively? So what's your take on that?
Well, you know, I would, as the foreigner here, I would reference House of Cards. And, you know, I'm not a TV guy. I should be. I don't know. I like Modern Family. Occasionally watch that. But we're not talking about Modern Family. We're talking about the nitty-gritty House of Cards. And I imagine, you know, I feel like both of these shows revolve around corruption. Because, Hyung, you can't get anti-corruption without the corruption being in place. Mm-hmm. One cannot be there without the other, right? So, in that being said, I think, you know, it is an interesting question, because though these are TV shows, you know, like, let's say House of Cards, you know, it's a TV show. I think it's an HBO production, right?
Netflix,
maybe. I'm not sure. But, you know, that's a testament to how little I watch TV. But I know it's very popular. But the thing is, maybe some people are like, you know, this is a show, but it's based on, you know, the real United States and this kind of thing, and it paints this kind of picture, but it is a TV show, and that's what needs to be remembered here. And what I also think is really interesting is, you know, this is kind of a portrayal that I would say the House of Cards especially is kind of dark. It seems people nowadays, they like to see the real nitty-gritty, you know. Back a couple years back in the United States, I would say a lot of these TV shows had that typical hero, anti-hero type thing where the hero overcomes the odds. But then you have a show that has to do with corruption like House of Cards. And yet, as I understand, you know, Kevin Spacey, he's just moving up through the ranks, and he's doing it in corrupt means. And there's no necessarily, like, I would say, that hero figure trying to overcome the, you know, good wins the day type scenario. But here, and I think what's refreshing about maybe this show is I see maybe an archetype that is that kind of hero archetype. You've got that corruption, but then you've also got these kind of heroes that are trying to conquer it, trying to stop it. And that, I've always been a fan of those kind of things. Call me old-fashioned, but I like it when the heroes overcome the odds and help everybody. And so, you know, I think that this is the archetype I can get behind, not necessarily the archetype of House of Cards.
Yes, and I wanted to say there are some exaggerating plot or details here, namely in primary school students bribing each other to get something, like get their homework copied, things like that. But I think that's not the reality here. It's just maybe in some particular class, things like this happen, maybe in a way. But seeing this, we kind of understand why anti-corruption is so important, why fight the tiger as well as the flies are all important, because we don't want a society like that. We don't want a society that's saying you have to bribe someone to get things done.
Yes, that's very interesting. And I think that's definitely one takeaway from the show. And also, I think to echo what Ryan said earlier, also, I think people are not just satisfied with the stereotypical hero here. People are also drawn to the charismatic villain.
Oh, yeah.
And the charismatic villain often shows certain things about reality that's reflected through artistic way. And people want to see, I think, a variation of reality, but also reality is central there. And then I think with this show, It shows us there are the different shades of gray between the black and white. And maybe that's something that people who are tired of the bubblegummy popular shows want something different.